Well, we want to get into, this is level 2, lesson 13, God's Kind of Love, part 2. And for somebody that may be listening on the internet or on a CD or something like this, we're going through Andrew Walmack's course, Discipleship Evangelism. And this course is co-authored. Andrew Walmack and his associate Don Crow put this together, and it's a wonderful teaching on the various ways that God will use you to evangelize people into the kingdom of God, but also make disciples of them. And last week, Craig shared God's Kind of Love, part 1. And in that, Don Crow talked about going to the park one day and just saying, "Lord, I just would like for you to use me to be a blessing to somebody." And he saw some kids on a swing, and he went and sat down between them and started swinging on the park swing, noticed their parents came, he talked to them and found out that they were from Romania. And long story short, if you listened to it last week, he was able to lead them to the Lord, get them into a Bible study, and begin to disciple them. And in this lesson, he's going to continue to share a little bit more about that Romanian couple and how God continued over a period of the next 7.5 to 8 years to disciple them. And as I was reading, I found it kind of amusing that Don Crow and Andrew Walmack were in the Colorado area, and this Romanian couple, as you'll find out in tonight's lesson, moved to Kansas. And there's a little bit of story there that we'll tell in just a little bit. But also, before I get into part 2 of God's Kind of Love, I was looking at Andrew Walmack's daily devotional. I have at least 2 daily devotionals that I like to read. One's Joseph Prince, the other one's Andrew Walmack. And the one for June the 15th from Andrew Walmack is entitled, God Loves You. So I'm going to read that and then get into the lesson. June the 15th, God Loves You. Matthew chapter 18, verse 14 says, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish." And I quote Andrew, "One of the greatest truths of the Bible and also one of the hardest to comprehend is that we are the objects of God's love. God didn't just pity us or feel some sense of moral obligation to save us. He saved us because of His infinite love for us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave." He loves people, and He even loves those who have gone astray. Think about that. Even when people go astray, God still loves them. He doesn't stop loving them because they walk away from Him. As Jesus said in a similar parable in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, quote, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." So once we experience the life-changing power of Christ, there's a tendency to sometimes become harsh and impatient with other people who continue to live their lives without Him. Do you ever notice that? Sometimes we get a little bit impatient and frustrated with people because we feel like they're just not getting it. They just don't understand. We sometimes forget that it was the love and the goodness of God that brought us to repentance, according to Romans 2:4. It's the goodness of God that leads us, amen, to repentance. And sometimes we become condemning and judgmental toward the lost. This is not the attitude that Jesus had, nor is it the attitude He wants us to have either. So think about that the next time you get frustrated with somebody in the world that's just a mean old sinner and a rotten person, and realize that used to be you. Amen? You were that mean old person. You were that rotten sinner. You were that person that cut somebody off in traffic or did something that frustrates you now. We need to be patient and kind and long-suffering, just like the Lord has been with every one of us. And even when we, I'm going to read, this is from a paraphrase of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And I don't know which paraphrase it is. He doesn't say, but I'm thinking it might be the Message translation. It says, "Even when we were spiritually dead because of our sins, God's forbearance was working on our behalf. He was tolerant, patient, and kind toward us. God abounded in excessive proportion with goodwill, compassion, and desire to help us. His disposition was kind, compassionate, and forgiving in His treatment of us. He wanted an abundant supply to alleviate our distress and bring relief from our sins. He did this by giving us life in place of death. It was with Christ that this salvation was secured. By grace, kindness, and favor, we are saved. All of this was the result of God's extremely large degree of love wherewith He loved us, always seeking the welfare and the betterment of us." Whatever happens to you today, remember how much God loves you. I don't know about you, but I'm sure every one of us has some days that are very taxing and very trying. It seems like one bad thing happens and is followed by another and maybe even another, and we begin to look around and say, "Why did I get out of bed this morning? This is just, you know, it seems like I've been set up for disaster and frustration." But no matter what you're going through, you've got to, as especially a Spirit-filled believer, you've got to each day remind yourself that the Lord said, and He cannot lie, He said, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age." And His love, according to Romans 5:5, has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's given to us. Do you know you can't love people enough in the natural? There are some people we, quote, like more than others. There are some people that we do appreciate more than others. There are some people that we honor more than others. And we can even say, "Yes, I love this person deeply and I would do anything for them." But in our human nature, our love can only go so far. And it will come to an end. It will find an end where you say, "Enough's enough. I've had enough. That's it. I quit." But God never does. God doesn't just love us. 1 John 4:8 says God is love. It's not that He loves, it's that He is love. That's His nature. And Romans 5:5 says that love of God is in our hearts. Now, we have to tap into it. We have to draw from it. In other words, we have to choose to love. So love is a decision. Love's not an emotion or a feeling, although it can be emotional and it can cause feelings, but love is a decision that you make. I'm going to love that person, and I'm going to choose not to allow them to offend me. No matter what they say, how they act, what they do, I'm going to make my stand that I'm not going to take offense. I'm telling you what, that's not easy to do. In fact, it's impossible if you try it in the natural. You've got to have God's love flowing in you and through you. That's why it's so important. Listen, that's why it's so important that we understand the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How many of you remember what Jude verse 20 says? "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost," that means praying in other tongues, but verse 21 says, "keeping yourself in the love of God." Praying in the Spirit will help you keep yourself in the love of God. I'll tell you what, there are times when I get honestly so frustrated with some people that I don't know what to say except just start praying in tongues. And as I begin to pray in tongues, it will finally get me to that calm place I need to be, that refreshing place I need to be. I'm just as likely and maybe more likely than some of you to go off on somebody sometimes. I know my limitations, at least sometimes I think I do. And yet there's always a time when the enemy's going to try that, amen? And if he hasn't done that to you yet, he will. But thank God, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen? Now, part two is a continuation of Don Crow's teaching on the God kind of love. And in part one, he told us about the Romanian couple that he met in a park. And he goes on to tell a little more about what happened. But he says here that before he goes on to tell that story, that he wants to review some of the things that's been said about God's love. So bear with me as I review some of the things from part one. Jesus Christ was the greatest expression of love that ever came on the face of the earth. Now listen to this very carefully. As far as it is recorded in the Bible, Jesus never ever said the words, I love you. Think about that. I mean, most of you have read the Bible through, hopefully, more than once. And the Gospels especially, because they record the words of Jesus. And never one time did Jesus say, I love you, to anybody. He didn't say, Peter, I love you. He didn't say, Mary, I love you. He didn't say, John, I love you. I find that kind of amazing. How about you? Think about it. This is love incarnate, but yet it never said to people, I love you. The greatest expression of love, which was Jesus, never said, I love you. And we ask the question, why did Jesus never say to people, I love you? It's because love is much more than words, it's action. He didn't say it with his words, he said it with his deeds. He said it in action. Mr. Crow here uses the illustration. He says, suppose I said to my wife, honey, I love you, and then I went out and I committed adultery against her. Would she believe my words or would she believe my actions? What do you think? Anybody? Actions. She'd believe me according to my actions, because 95% of love is nonverbal. 95% of love is nonverbal. It's not in the things you say, it's in what you do. Now listen, all of us have had our own experiences with people, with family, with strangers, with other Christians or whatever. I've been a pastor over 28 years, here 18 years, and just today I was talking to Dr. Ron Smith, who's been in the ministry over 60 years and had over 40-some years of pastoral experiences. And he said to me point blank, he said, Brother Dan, one thing I've learned after all my years of pastoring a church, I said, what's that, Papa Ron, is what we call him. I said, what's that, Papa Ron? He said, the church is full of mean people. So the church is full of mean people. So there are people out there that will just, you know, eat your lunch and, as Andrew says, pop the bag. And I know myself, in my own experiences, in any church I've ever pastored, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, here, and not just in pastoral settings, but just in settings and interacting with other people, there are a lot of people who will say to you, I love you, I love you, Brother Dan, I love you, Pastor Dan, and you like to hear that, but yet their actions never back up what they say. You know? I love the bumper sticker that one person said, don't put a bumper sticker on your car that says honk if you love Jesus. Because you know what happens. You honk and they'll probably flip you off or something. You know, they'll get upset with you. He said the sign should say tithe if you love Jesus. No, but there will be people that I'll call on a regular basis. Well, I love you, Brother Dan. Well, that's good. But show me that. Come to church. Get involved. Get committed. Be supportive. Hang in there. You know what? Over an 18-year period of time, I know that there are people that move, there are people that die, there are people that are called by God to go other places, and things turn and change. But in all honesty, if we see ourselves as the family of God, we should be as much against divorce as God is. And I know that there are cases where there's nothing, it's out of our hands, so to speak. I went through that myself, and some of you have as well. But in the church, we make a commitment. We should be as committed as we possibly be. Once we are involved in a local church, we should be involved and work out our situations, work out our difficulties, work out our differences. And I'm just thinking, after 18 years, if everybody that ever attended this church in the last 18 years, with the exception of people who died and people who moved away and people whom God called out, you know, we really didn't like to see Chris and Loretta leave, but they were called by God to go somewhere else, and others are called to go somewhere else. I remember Greg and Lisa were called to go to Topeka, and others called to go to Kansas City, called to go here and there. And I allow for that, and I know that. But
Literally, this church would probably have 1,000 members if everybody would have just stuck it out. Literally, in an 18-year period of time, I mean, at one time, the highest attendance we had at any one service was like 130 people, 132, 133 or something like that. That's why we sold the building on 9th and Vermont and got out of it because it, you know, it would seat 100 people and we were full. But we got to the point where, you know, we got out and we went through different things, up and down, up and down, up and down. But God's love is the glue that should hold us together. It's that commitment, not just to each other, but to the Lord Himself. And so, let's always remember that just telling somebody we love them doesn't mean as much as showing them. I saw so many demonstrations of love last week, and I thought to myself, you know, I'm ashamed of myself. I need to start acting more and start doing more myself in reaching out to help other people. And in reading a lesson like this, and like Craig shared last week, where on his lunch hour, Don Crow just goes to the park and sits in a swing and says, Lord, just let me bless somebody. Let me help somebody. And he starts talking to some little kids. And the outside of that was he won their parents to the Lord and won other people and discipled them. And yet, you know, every one of us could probably every single day say that same prayer. Lord, use me today to bless somebody. Make me a blessing to somebody today. And like last week, I've never honestly had anybody treat me the way that these people did, and we've only known them for just a few months, but yet they just absolutely would not allow us to pay for anything. They paid for our transportation. They paid for our meals. They paid for our lodging. They paid for our drinks. They paid when we went out, we couldn't buy a souvenir. They'd give us money. Here. This trip is not going to cost you a penny. We're taking care of it all. But they didn't only do that just for us. They did it for several couples. But the reason they're in that position is because they started out doing that, saying, Lord, just use us to be a blessing. Use us to be a blessing. And as we start getting away from self and realizing that sharing Jesus is not about us, it's about Him. Amen? It's about Him. He made the ultimate sacrifice. He's just asking us to make some small sacrifices, you know? Go out of your way, buy somebody's lunch, buy somebody's dinner, give somebody a ride, bring somebody to church, encourage somebody, help somebody. There are so many things that we can do to be a blessing to other people. And we just need to, you know, the old saying, random acts of kindness. We just need to start doing some stuff like that. I remember one of the best Christmases I had years ago, not that many years ago, but a few years ago. Adam was in the military. Jennifer was living in Colorado. I didn't have any family at home. I didn't have a whole lot of money to spend, but I took a couple $100s that I had, and I went to the bank, and I got $200 worth of $10 bills, and I just went downtown and sat in my car and prayed in tongues and waited. Some were homeless, some, I don't know who they were. People walk by, I just walk up and give them money. I give people $10 and say Merry Christmas. And I just wanted to give. I just wanted to sow some seed. And got varied expressions. Some people thought, boy, that's weird. Some were very grateful. Some wanted my phone number. I didn't give it to them. But you know, we need to show people through our actions that we love them. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, it says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Because love is an action word. Amen? And in Matthew 25, 35, and 36, Jesus describes love by the actions that it prompts, saying, quote, I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, without any clothing, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you cared for me. Then in verse 40, he says, quote, by doing this to the least of these my brethren, you've done it to me. So you see, love is an action. It's something that you do. And Hebrews 6:10 says, quote, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. That's the New International Version of Hebrews 6:10. In Matthew 22, when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, He said that it's to love God and to love our fellow man, to love each other. These two commandments are really one commandment if you understand them correctly. When you show love to the least of these, my brethren, Jesus said you are actually showing it to Him. So if you really stop and think about it, I'll take it a step further.
How we treat each other is really how we're treating Jesus. Because I can look at Marcia sitting there, and I see Marcia. I don't see Jesus sitting there, but Jesus is in Marcia sitting there. And I should see Jesus in Marcia. I should see Jesus in Christy, in April, in Tia, in Brad, and Kathy, Carla, and Bob, and Lizelle, and these people in the front row too, whom their names escape me, Adam and Diana. Not too sure about Hayden and Paul, but anyway, no, really. We should look to see Jesus in each other. Amen? We should see that. Because if we're looking for Jesus, if we're looking for Jesus in one another, that's what we'll find. But if we're looking to find fault and flaws, we can find that just as well, can't we? I preached the message years ago. I should blow the dust off of it and get it out again sometime and preach it. I don't even remember if I ever preached it here. Probably did years and years ago. But it was about eagles and vultures and how you compare them to Christians. That, you know, both of them are birds. They're large birds and they fly and they're pretty majestic and you can watch them. They have big wingspans. But the main difference between two is the eagle eats live meat, and a vulture eats dead meat. So the point I'm making there is that as a Christian, we should feed on life and not on death. That Christians should feed on life. If you want to be a Christian eagle and not a Christian vulture, if there is such a thing, don't feed on death, but feed on life. The Bible is teaching that we have a wonderful opportunity to love Jesus Christ in practical ways simply by loving Jesus. Simply, right now, Diana is rubbing Adam's back, but really she's scratching Jesus' back right now. Amen? Giving Jesus a back rub. I mean, that's what we should minister to one another that way. We should see it. I love you, Lord. I love my spouse. I love the body of Christ. In the last lesson, you're told about the Romanians that were met in the park and their lives were changed because one man sought their welfare and benefit regardless of how he felt. And he says himself that they were a different color, they were a different nationality, but he knew that God's love expresses itself when we reach out and seek the welfare and the benefit of others just like Jesus did. Amen? Jesus didn't know any color barriers, race barriers, or things like that. He didn't feel like going to the cross. How many of you realize that? He didn't feel like dying on the cross. I mean, he prayed. He said, quote, "Father, if there's any other way, let it be. Yet not my will, but your will be done." So Jesus sought our welfare and benefit regardless of how he felt. Now, Dr. Crow goes on to say, "One day I got a call from the Romanians. They were in tears. They had been in the United States for 7.5 years, and they now lived in Kansas, and they were working in Kansas. And they said, 'We finally got a ruling on our political asylum papers. They're giving us 30 days to make an appeal, and then we are going to be deported.'" Well, people normally have only a 2-5% chance of ever getting political asylum in the United States of America. That's a very small percentage. They went to a lawyer and he basically said that they didn't have a chance. They were wasting their time. They were going to be deported. And so he told them that they would pray and get other people praying and try to help them. He said how we were going to help, I had no idea how we were going to help. He said, "I thought it would be a great injustice to send them back, especially since their children had been here long enough that they could barely speak Romanian anymore. They were speaking English well, couldn't even speak their native language anymore." So, he said, "A friend of mine called our Colorado congressman who said to contact Senator Sam Brownback in Kansas, since the Romanians now lived in Kansas. Now, that was great because I have a friend named Kim who worked for Senator Brownback. I contacted Kim and she got 4 people in Washington, D.C. working on this case. the community in Sublette, Kansas. Anybody know where Sublette, Kansas is? I've never heard of it either. You know where it's at? Okay. Sublette, Kansas. The people in that community got behind the Romanians with a petition of signatures stating that they wanted these Romanians to stay there and live in their community. They're good people, they pay taxes, they work hard, and we want them to stay here. There was full coverage newspaper article about what had happened. And it was a miracle because there were high officials in our government who understood what was going on. And the Romanians got a letter saying the decision had been reversed and that they could stay in the United States. That was a result of prayer and intervention. Now remember, all this happened because on a lunch break, he went to the park and said, "Lord, use me today to help somebody." Then he said, "I went to Sublette, Kansas. My friends didn't even know that I was coming. And when I got there, they were on the phone at that very moment thanking Senator Brownback for helping get their political asylum. He couldn't be there personally because it was the last day of President Clinton's impeachment hearing. But ABC and NBC News were there with their cameras turned on. And he said, as soon as they hung up the phone, they ran over to me and they hugged me. And when the cameraman saw that, they came right over to Dr. Crow and they said, who are you and how do you know these people? And he said, I told them the whole story from the beginning. And he said, how I met them and how I sought their welfare and their benefit because of God and what Jesus says in the Word. So he had an opportunity to give a testimony on nationwide news, ABC, NBC. He said, then we went to the gymnasium where there were red, white, and blue balloons everywhere and patriotic songs were being sung. And when my friends came in, everyone started shouting and they were also crying. And the mayor of the city said, today, February the 12th, is going to be the Jakin Family Day in honor of these Romanians. And they took an American flag that Senator Brownback had flown over the Capitol in Washington, D.C. in their honor and presented it to them. He also presented them with papers that said they were legally able to stay basically for the rest of their lives in the United States. They all gave a testimony and then they asked me to pray. I said, there's one person we haven't thanked enough yet today, and that's God Almighty. In a park in Colorado Springs, Colorado, 7.5 years ago, I was seeking God, telling him that I just simply wanted to reach out with His love to someone that day. And I was led to these Romanian people. I then repeated the story and I said, God wants to help you. Welcome to the United States of America. The way it all came about was a real miracle, and I knew the right people in the right places at the right time. My friend Kim had made arrangements for Senator Brownback to come and meet me at Andrew Walmack Ministries a year before all of this happened. And she said, you just need to meet Don Crow. Said that to Senator Brownback, so he agreed, okay, I'll meet him. He said, I don't know why, and I was very uncomfortable in meeting him. He said, little did I know that God was setting things up to help a family that He had revealed Himself to and His love to simply because of the command of Jesus that what you would want someone to do to us, we should do to them. That's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And how basic is that? Amen? That's just basic gospel, basic Word of God. It's a miracle that they'll never forget, and they will tell you to this day that it was all because of God. Anca, the Romanian lady, said, my faith wavered, but God is faithful, and He allowed us to stay in the United States of America. Now, in concluding the lesson, I'm going to ask you to look up some scriptures, so get your Bibles ready, and we'll ask a few questions. There are multitudes of people right now all around you and I where we live, and they're crying out simply to be loved. Amen? You know, when I read this lesson, I thought, you know, God does things so basically and so simply, and we think about how we can evangelize and how we can get the church to grow, and We usually think of programs and outreaches and stuff like that, but if every single one of us would just do our part and start talking to people and loving people, strangers or whatever, and inviting people, we've got nothing to be ashamed of. The Bible says we're not to despise the day of small beginnings or humble beginnings. We are who we are where we are until God chooses to do otherwise, and we should not be ashamed of it. We should be bold, and we're sharing Christ, the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. The only way that these people in this community can get what you and I have, is when we make the decision to understand the principles of God's love and unashamedly get out here and start sharing it with people. Just start sharing the love of God. You know, again, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. We enjoy the benefits of being Christians. We have forgiveness. We have His promise of health and prosperity and protection. And yet sometimes we walk right past people every single day that are on their way to hell, and it seems like we could care less. We just walk right past them and even rub shoulders with them sometimes. And I think sometimes we get a little hard. We get a little gospel hardened sometimes. And what we need to do is be a little bit more sensitive to what God wants to do in our community. God bless you today, Dr. Crow says, as you make the commitment to put these principles into action in your life and really begin to love people with God's love. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Adam, if you could look that up. And since Diana's right beside of you, I'm going to ask two questions. So I'll ask you one and ask her one from the same verse. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. And Brad, if you could find 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. And Marcia, 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. And we'll cover those. And if we have enough time, we'll cover just a few more. But at reading Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Adam, in your own words, tell us what the golden rule means to you.
Treat people how you would like them to treat you.
Okay, that's good. Treat people how you would like other people to treat you. And Diana, in trying to discover love, many people try to find the right person. Let me repeat that again. In trying to discover love, many people try to find the right person. Should you try to find the right person, or should you try to become the right person? Okay. Amen. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Brad, if you want to read that. Now, from reading that verse of Scripture, is love a feeling or is love something that you do? You can answer.
We do it.
Amen. Amen. Marcia, 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Okay. Love in deed and in truth. Now, Marcia, if you told your husband, "I love you," but then went out and committed adultery, would he believe your words or would he believe your actions? So in saying that, and it's part of the lesson, our actions really do speak louder than our words, don't they? So what we do says much more than what we say. And we all have to be aware of that. And so, you know, if you freely say to people, "I love you," make sure you have the actions to back up those words. Amen? Now, Romans chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. Anybody want to volunteer to read that? Carla, you have a Bible handy there? All right, Romans chapter 5, verse 6, 7, and 8. And Bob, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. As soon as you get it, Carla, go ahead and read Romans 5, chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. Amen. The question they want to ask about this scripture is, do you think that Jesus felt like dying? What do you think, Carla? No. Anybody else? You know, according to the scripture we read earlier and the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was actually saying, you know, I really don't want to do this, but nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. That demonstration in itself should tell us that there are things that God calls us to do that aren't always going to be comfortable, are they? But we have the choice of saying, all right, I'm either going to have my way or I'm going to surrender and let God have His way. How many of you think God's way is probably better? Amen? Amen. I think all of us have tried it both ways enough to realize that even though we may not understand what God's doing, He's trustworthy. Amen? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Last but not least, Galatians 5, 22. Bob, if you could read that. All right, with that being said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Against such there is no love. With that being said, can we really love without God being the center of our lives? No, we can't really. There are different kinds of love, and the Greek word love, there's at least four different words in the New Testament. But the word agape is the word that Jesus coined for the love of God. The other three loves are different kinds of loves. You learned that in the first lesson, so I don't need to repeat them. But they have to do with family love and sexual love and, you know, just being warm-hearted towards somebody. But the agape love is that self-giving, self-sacrificing, doing unto others as you want others to do unto them, doing unto Jesus as He has done for you. And that love is in our hearts. Amen? So, as we conclude, before we close in prayer, let me ask if anybody has any comment, any questions, any testimonies, or anything you'd like to share about your idea of God's love or your experiences in God's love, or maybe even a testimony of how God led you to love somebody in an unusual way. Anyone? Don't all jump at once, but I'm sure everybody has something that once or twice or sometime in your life, you know, that God has led you to do that might have been out of the ordinary. Anyone? Okay, Bob, go ahead. Amen. Amen. I know sometimes we don't like to talk about the things that we do because that one scripture says what we do in secret will be rewarded openly, and we say, I don't want to lose my reward. And we're not bragging about ourselves, we're bragging about Jesus. But there are times when we share, you know, maybe God led you to do something and you didn't know why you were doing it, and then the outcome was a miracle, just like Brother Crow was talking about having lunch and just getting out of the building and going to the park, sitting in a swing and saying, Lord, use me. And God just took that little prayer and helped a family gain political asylum in the United States. Isn't that something? All right. Anybody want to share anything before we close in prayer? If not, let's just take a moment and pray and give thanks. I want you to take a moment and just close your eyes and meditate on what's been said here about God's love, and especially the part where Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." Think about the opportunities that you have had to love somebody with a God kind of love, and think about the many times in your life that somebody loved you when you probably felt like you didn't deserve it. Father, we just thank you that you are challenging us as your children to love one another as you have loved us. And by this, all men will know that we are your disciples. I pray that this word would be sealed to our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and that in the days and weeks and months ahead, if Jesus tarries, that you will give all of us ample opportunities to love not only in word, but in deed, every opportunity that we have, and that we'll be able to look back and see the mighty miracles that you use because we have obeyed you in loving one another. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. Now, we're going to come up and close.